Hi there. Welcome to Breastfeeding Matters podcast, where we talk all things breastfeeding from personal stories to education and the latest research evidence. I'm Angelica Mullen, your podcast host, lactation counselor, and mom. And I'm here to tell you that breastfeeding matters. So let's talk about it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Breastfeeding Matters. I hope that you guys are doing really well. And, you know, I wanted to share the second part of this great episode called Breastfeeding Basics, where I kind of discuss, you know, the basics that every mom should know, every first-time mom specifically, or if you've never breastfed before and you want to give it a shot this time, then this is the episode for you to listen to and hopefully get some good information. So in the first episode, we discussed a lot. So it's a very long episode. And in this one, it's going to be a bit shorter. I just have a couple more things to say. We're going to talk a bit about cluster feeding, about what to expect when you get home, when your milk comes in, all of those things. So the first thing that I want to say is when we finished the last episode, we did a lot of talk about doing some pumping if you're kind of, you know, getting some issues like jaundice and hypoglycemia and all of that. And, you know, I wanted to mention briefly exclusively pumping. So if you haven't heard the term, exclusively pumping is when a mom chooses to exclusively pump and bottle feed her breast milk to her baby versus feeding at the breast, okay? And those moms tend to do that because they have no choice, you know, because they're dealing with an issue that they can't resolve, like a tongue tie, their baby never latched, you know, there are several issues why a mom would do that. And you know, it's a very tough job. There's a lot to do. It's something that I actually had to do for a couple of months, about like 3 months, 3 to 4, before I was able to bring my baby to the breast. And it's a whole bunch of work. So those mothers are really amazing. But what I wanted to mention about that is that if you kind of maybe choose to go that way, or it's something that, you know, you want to think about, or if it ever comes up in your future, just something that I wanted to share is that you always want to aim to at least, you know, either latch your baby maybe for comfort, or, you know, you want to make sure that you're kissing, you're cuddling your baby, or even consider putting some of your baby's saliva onto your nipples. Okay. And I know that sounds weird, but the reason for that is because, you know, some of the things that we discussed early on about the benefits of breastfeeding, having that, you know, antibody specificity, where your body creates antibodies that are protecting your baby. Okay. That communication happens the best when we're feeding at the breast. Okay. So that's how your body, that's how your baby sends signals to your body about what he or she needs. Okay. So it's kind of hard for your baby to communicate that without kind of that saliva exchange. And it's definitely something that still needs a lot of research. Okay. But typically if you're exclusively pumping, if you could kind of go that extra mile of putting that saliva on your nipples, or, you know, just doing like a lot of kissing, a lot of cuddling, all those things, you know, kind of help interchange that communication. But of course, you know, it doesn't compare to just breastfeeding directly. So, you know, if you want to breastfeed directly, you know, just continue to seek out help, you know, send me a message if you ever get to the point where you really want to latch your baby, but, you know, things just aren't going the way that you need to. And, you know, hopefully I can send you a good resource or guide you to where to go at that point. But that was just a small point that I wanted to make about, you know, that antibody transfer. It happens the best when we're feeding directly at the breast. Okay, something else that I wanted to talk about is, well, let's just talk about, you know, what to do when you go home. Okay, so after a couple of days at the hospital, it depends how long you stay at the hospital, depending on the things that you go through. But after a couple of days, when you get home, you will experience something called lactogenesis 2, okay? And that just means that your milk is coming in. So you're going to experience a hormonal shift, okay? And that typically happens around day 3 to 5, okay? That's typically the normal range. If you have prior health conditions, or you had a C-section, or maybe you had a lot of fluids, sometimes it can delay that milk coming in, or if you had gestational diabetes, things like that. But typically the days are day 3 to 5 postpartum, we start seeing those signs. Okay, and the first sign really is just increased fullness in your breast. Okay, so your breasts are kind of, you know, in a bit of a shock of all that milk that is suddenly coming in. So you're going from making these small drops of colostrum to start making, you know, that copious white milk. And it's just, you know, it's a lot for your body to handle that, you know, that big hormonal shift. So it's normal to feel some engorgement, okay? If it gets to the point where it's severe, doesn't get better, or your breasts just feel like hard rocks for days, then that's another sign to seek out some help, okay? Because that could be an issue with your baby being able to transfer milk, okay? Because that milk needs to be going somewhere and it doesn't seem like it's going inside the baby's mouth. So something else to expect just postpartum really is night sweats. So, you know, it's just because of the hormonal shifts, and it also doesn't help that, you know, you're going through that milk coming in stage that also just kind of gets your whole body sweaty. So you can experience night sweats for a couple of weeks, and, you know, they're no fun. It's pretty crazy. And then also as far as your milk coming in, tender breasts are normal. Okay, so some tenderness, totally normal. You'll most likely be on some pain relievers for postpartum healing anyway. So hopefully that helps you feel better. And, you know, all of these things are totally normal, you know, for first-time moms and, you know, any mom. It can be a bit reduced if you've had like multiple kids at this point, because your body has been used to kind of your milk coming in. So the effect might not be as drastic as it was with your first kid. But you should still expect some fullness and a bit of engorgement. Okay, so now I want to talk a bit about cluster feeding. So cluster feeding, I mentioned it in the first episode a little bit, and we mentioned that after those first 24 hours, the baby can feed a lot, okay? So that's not really a known cluster feeding period, okay? Because we refer more to cluster feeding as far as a developmental growth or a growth spurt. That's typically what we refer to as cluster feedings. Typically after 24 hours, that kind of extra feeding that we see, it's more like anecdotal, like what we've heard, but it's not necessarily a developmental leap at that age. But the typical developmental leaps that lead to cluster feeds, okay, is around day 10, weeks 2, week 6, month 3, and month 6, okay? So with cluster feeding, it just means that your baby is doing some growing, okay? They're preparing for their growth in a couple of days. So it just means that because of this growth, they're kind of putting in the demand on your breast really early so that they could get more milk in a couple of days. It doesn't mean that your baby's hungry right now. It just means that they're sending the message to your body to make more milk, okay? And, you know, if I didn't mention it in the first episode, breastfeeding is really a supply and demand, you know, relationship. So that means that the more your baby breastfeeds, the more that your body will produce milk. Okay, the more empty that your breasts are, the more signals that they get to make milk. So if your breasts are constantly engorged because your baby isn't breastfeeding enough, or because they're not transferring milk well, then your body's getting the signal that no more milk is needed. Okay, so those are definitely two good things to keep in mind. Okay. So, you know, as far as the cluster feedings, they're definitely difficult to deal with, okay, because your baby will be feeding every 30 minutes to an hour, okay, and they can do this for like hours on end, and it tends to happen more in the afternoon, but, you know, it's definitely a hard time, but, you know, kind of just lay by the couch, watch some TV if you need to, you know, kind of distract yourself. I'm hoping at that point that breastfeeding is not painful for you, you know, and if it is, make sure you're seeking out some help. But, you know, it's just, it only happens for a temporary amount of time. And, you know, they'll get through it and, you know, they'll be glad that they had their mom there for them. Okay, so another brief point that I want to bring in is sleep and breastfeeding. And this is definitely a point that I'm going to do an entire episode for. But I just want to give a brief overview here because, you know, as a society, we have a lot of ideas about sleep and how an infant should sleep. And, you know, just a lot of misinformation, really. But I'm just here to tell you that night feedings are normal, okay? You want to always feed on demand, you know, your newborn. And another point that I want to bring up is that, you know, breast milk really reduces rates of SIDS. And we talked about that early on. But the reasoning behind that is because, you know, breastfed babies need to feed often. And breast milk is digested much faster than formula. Okay, so this means that they're going to wake a bit more often. And this is a very protective mechanism so that they're continuously, you know, breathing at the right pattern and at the right rate. And so that, you know, that's one of the reasons that SIDS is reduced. But, you know, like I was saying, night feedings are very normal. And, you know, you just want to listen to your baby's cues, you know, even during the night. And, you know, sometimes it may feel like they're waking up forever. But really, when they're going through, you know, some of these cluster feeds and some of these developmental leaps, and a good app to know about their developmental leaps is the Wonder Weeks app. And, you know, when they're going through these big growth spurts, then they really need you, especially at night. So, you know, their sleep may be disturbed when they're kind of going through all these things and all of that. So, you know, continue to cater for their needs. I know like how difficult it can be. You know, I've had an entire journey with my daughter as far as sleep and all of that. And that's definitely something that I want to talk about in the future. But, you know, it's really just hanging on there and doing the best that you can. And, you know, something that I do want to talk about in the future, but I don't want to get too much into right now, is just the fact that sleep training and breastfeeding are not naturally compatible. Okay, so that's pretty much all I'll say about that because that's an entire topic. But if you kind of get to that point in your journey with your baby, you know, make sure to do some thorough research. And hopefully by that time, I have an episode on sleep training and why it can be very damaging. So let's see. So at this point, you know, we've done a lot of talking. So we've talked a bit about, you know, the pumping, the sleep with breastfeeding, kind of what to expect when you're home. And we talked about cluster feeding. One more point that I want to bring up is just weight loss. So it's normal for babies to lose some weight once they're born. Okay. Entirely normal. So that first weight that they get, they're going to lose, a good amount of that. Okay, and that's just because babies have a lot of fluid coming out of utero. They may get a lot of fluids if you have, for example, an epidural or things like that. Okay, so it's totally normal for them to lose some weight. We kind of give them about 2 weeks to start gaining back birth weight. It's typically after, you know, 7 to 10% weight loss that we do want to take, you know, a brief look at breastfeeding and make sure that things are going well in that department. And, you know, that's not to scare you or to say that, you know, a breastfed baby can absolutely lose 10% and everything be fine. But it's just, you know, just an extra caution just to make sure that we've taken a look at everything and that everything is functioning well, that the mouth, the oral anatomy is all functioning well, the latch is well, all of that. So, you know, you can't ever go wrong with having an IBCLC check everything out for you and all of that. But you can definitely go wrong by not seeking out enough support quickly enough. Okay, so that's definitely my best piece of advice. You know, if you're ever confused, seek out help. You know, as a mom, you really have to, you know, be on the lookout because there's so much misinformation out there and so much confusing information. And sometimes it's hard, you know, when you're a first-time parent dealing with everything. You know, I definitely know how that feels. But, you know, you're your baby's best advocate. You know, they have no one else. You are their voice in this world. So, you know, it's up to you to seek out information and, you know, to continue educating yourself for this new life that you created. So, you know, I think that's it. So this was a shorter episode since, you know, we kind of talked a lot about the breastfeeding basics in that first episode that we discussed earlier. So definitely, guys, let me know if you have any questions or any other frequently asked questions that you wanted me to go over. I can definitely do a third part to this episode. So thank you so much for listening. Be sure to check me out at Breastfeeding Matters on Instagram and also at Mother's Joy Lactation. And, you know, reach out there if you have any more questions. Thank you so much.